Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is my pastor, Brian Hurlbut, pastor of Lifeline Community. If you listen to this show regularly in the morning, you probably catch his show that comes right before us at 9:30 in the morning. I wanted to have Brian in to discuss Dr. Richard Mao's new book, Talking to Mormons, because Richard Mao has been involved in private conversations with LDS academics. And not only that, though, he has been very critical of some of the things that have been said publicly about the Mormon Church. And he tries to give his view and how he understands Mormonism after talking with these LDS academics and some general authorities. And he's been doing this for a number of years now. On page Roman numeral 8, under the heading of Explaining the Soundbites, he talks about his reluctance of labeling the Mormon Church a cult. Now, admittedly, to use the word cult is like throwing a hand grenade in a crowded room. And a lot of people do have different ideas of what that means. I don't think it's fair, however, for either side to assume what the other person might be thinking. Therefore, I think it's proper that if you're going to use that word, you probably should offer at least a very quick synopsis of what you think that word means. Dr. Mao says that he is not willing to give that label. He says that that label of cult does not apply accurately to The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, even though he says it does apply accurately to groups like Scientology and the Jehovah's Witnesses. Now, I've talked to many Jehovah's Witnesses, not so many Scientologists, or even Christian Scientists, and he also mentions Hare Krishnas. I don't even know if I would put Hare Krishna as a cult. That's more like Eastern religion based out of Hinduism. I think he kind of gets it wrong there. What about that term, Brian? Because Dr. Jeffress from Texas used that word a while back, and of course the media went crazy, the Mormons went crazy about that. Dr. Jeffress later on gave a very clear explanation of what he meant by that. Mm-hmm. But is that word something that should be retired, or should it be used cautiously or not at all?
Yeah, I think it's something that can and should be used cautiously. I wrote a piece recently for the Salt Lake Tribune. It was a few months ago. And in part of that piece, I discussed this issue of cult and referenced that it's Mormonism in its present form is not a sociological cult. In its early days it was, but it's not now in typically how it operates. But it is a theological cult, and it qualifies as a theological cult. And I think to throw out the term essentially minimizes the definition of the term, when the term is broader than just sociology. The term also encompasses theological distinctives and even questions of authority and how authority bumps into theology. And so when I wrote that article, I got quite a response from the local community, to say the least. And my proposal in the article, and what I left in the article, was give me another term that we can use. I'm open to another term. But if I choose a term like heterodox, or I choose a term like heresy or heretic, that's not exactly a balm for the soul either. Mm-mm. And so whatever term you use is going to show disparity. And for me, Bill, this is the crux of the issue, and this is my biggest objection with Rich Mao. And that is, all throughout the text, when I'm reading the biblical text and I see Paul in various ministry opportunities evangelistically, when I see Peter in Acts, again and again, the single pervasive theme that emerges is Christological clarity. They are pressing towards clarity, and that is the value that governs the dialogue. So I'll often hear people that hold to Mao's perspective in this book, they will use Acts 17 as sort of a favorite text for engagement. The whole point of Acts 17.
This is Paul on Mars Hill.
Paul on Mars Hill. That's right. Mm-hmm. And in that context, as Paul is engaging those intellectuals at Mars Hill, he presses towards Christological clarity. A great buddy of mine at the Evangelical Theological Society's national meeting last year gave a paper talking about Christological clarity and the role of, and its role in Paul and Paul's engagement with culture. And that's my problem with Mao. That's my problem with other ministries. As some of them head down this road, they make my job harder as a pastor because they create confusion. Mm. And when they create that confusion, they create a situation where when I am visiting with a Mormon and I'm talking with them on an airplane or on the street or they come into my office, I spend my time at the outset of the conversation trying to make sure that they see us as different because they don't want to see us as different. They want to see us as stepbrothers.
Which is a big change from 21st century Mormonism to 19th century Mormonism, because back then they were always hounding on the differences. And my question is, what all has changed between those two time periods that all of a sudden now we've come together? Nothing really. When you look at their traditional teachings, they're still being taught today.
Well, here's the difference. Then they were going to Utah, out into a territory that was separate from the United States. Today they're going to Washington. And that's the difference. There's a political element that's at play. And so it is, and Mao says as much in many ways. Now, he doesn't say it overtly, but the point is made, even in his writing with a careful read, that there's a changing of the presentation, there's a changing of the speech, there's a changing of how it's said. The problem that I think Mao is oblivious to in his blind spot is that it's only a change in verbiage, that the content that remains behind the terms is the same.
Right. He likes to cite a lot of the BYU professors, who I admit do say some things that don't sound like something we would hear in General Conference. But he seems to equate what these guys are saying as that's the church. That's the problem I have. And that's why I think it becomes confusing for Christians. And it becomes confusing for Mormons. And this is why I say it doesn't really help Mormons. It gives Mormons this false sense of security that, see, this is a guy who thinks it's okay.
You've been doing this for how many years?
38 years. Officially since 79 is when we started MRM. But I've been studying Mormonism.
What doctrinal changes have you seen in 38 years?
The only thing I could say is, well, they changed their policy on birth control.
Okay.
Now it's okay to practice birth control, not abortion, but other forms of birth control. And then, of course, in 78, we saw the change in the black issue. But what did they do with that? Well, it was never a doctrine, now they're saying. It was never a doctrine. It was just speculation.
Right.
Any ideas as to why we believe blacks couldn't hold the priesthood.
But there's been
folklore.
No significant paradigmatic sort of big level shift in Mormon
doctrine.
We
don't see Thomas Monson, for instance, getting up in General Conference and saying, hey, remember that book, The Miracle of Forgiveness, written by my colleague Spencer Kimball? Don't listen to that. We're not seeing that. In fact, we're seeing it being cited over and over and encouraged for Mormons to read and things like that. So you're right. I don't see that big of a change.
But I'll bet you've seen a change from Bruce McConkie and how he talks about the content to Robert Millett and how he talks about the content, even though the backdrop is still the same color.
Anybody who's heard me for any amount of time knows that I miss Bruce McConkie. I miss him.
You knew what you were dealing with.
I knew exactly what I was dealing with because the man was so brutally honest, and I appreciated that. I didn't agree with him a lot, but I at least appreciated the fact that he was not going to hide anything in his writings. He was just brutally honest, and I wish the Mormon leadership of today could be just as honest as he was. It's not that they don't slip every once in a while, because they certainly do, and I'm there to catch it, but it is much harder. It is much harder. One of the things, because we have a few minutes left, since we're talking about this cult issue, and I know that that's a Mormons, boy, when you use that four-letter word, that you know, it gets them really riled up. And it is a pejorative term. It's meant to be a negative term that defines what we see as a certain people group. His reasons, though, for excluding the Mormon church, I find troubling. Because one of the big reasons, he says, is, well, cults normally don't have universities.
Right.
He says the Jehovah's Witnesses, they belong to a cult, okay? They don't have big universities. They don't want to engage in dialogue. And I would say, okay, you're right, but where in the world did that ever become a definition of a cult?
Well, the only thing that can speak to is the sociological end of the definition of a cult, which I'm not interested in defending that. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with the theological end. And that's the point. When we're using the term, I'm not using the term sociologically. I'm using the term theologically, and that's where your caution comes in. We want to explain that. I think we want people to know, because we do want them to know. I've got great neighbors. I live here in the Mormon Belt. I've got great neighbors. I've got winsome people. There aren't a bunch of crazies up in the hills waiting to come down and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. There's a few of them down on the border. But for the most part up here, that's not the case. So it's not a sociological cult in that sense that when you say the word, people think wide-eyed guy with wild hair coming down off of the mountains in goatskin. Mm-hmm. That's not who it is. But theologically, it is stepped into a place and from its genesis that it is aberrant enough on the core doctrines of historic Christian dogma to be called a cult. And it's always been seen like that, and it's that term is perfectly appropriate to use, and we'd be helpful just to make that qualification.
It also seems to overlook the fact that the Mormon Church has used the word cult to describe others outside of their parameters. They've used that word. They've actually referred to people who believe in the Athanasian Creed. I think it was McConkie that actually said that they were cultists who believe in that kind of thing. I mean, so they've used it as well. And, of course, Mao doesn't really address that. I mean, it's not a very big book. I don't expect him to go into too much depth. But what he does say about that issue, I don't think is adequate. You can't just say that a person or a group no longer fits that description just because they happen to have a university and just so happens that some of those academics at that university want to talk to you about some of these issues. I've had lots of good talks with Jehovah's Witnesses. I've had great talks with them. But I would have to say, and maybe you agree with this, Jehovah's Witnesses are certainly wrong theologically from our worldview. But if you compare Jehovah's Witnesses with the Mormons, I would say the Mormons are much more out there than even Jehovah's Witnesses. Yes. At least the Jehovah's Witnesses want to stick with a biblical perspective to a certain extent. Mormons don't even care about that. It's all what the Latter-day Prophets are saying. And so their idea of truth goes far beyond what they would say is in the Bible.
Yeah, definitely a different engagement with the content of Scripture.
We're going to be looking again tomorrow at more of what Dr. Richard Mao says in his book, Talking with Mormons.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Viewpoint on Mormonism is a radio show dedicated to discussing the differences between Mormonism and Christianity in a loving, gentle format. Sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry, this show's goal is to look carefully at the Bible and determine whether or not the beliefs, as taught by the leaders of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, correspond to truth. Now, whether you're a Latter-day Saint or a Christian, you can contact us and even ask a question that we could answer in a future show. Here's how. Email us at contact@mrm.org. Again, that's contact@mrm.org. And if you're a Christian who would like to financially support this radio ministry, you can do that as well. Just go to our website, www.mrm.org, and go to the right top button called Donate. This ministry cannot exist without the financial support of our friends and listeners, and we are grateful to everyone who plays a vital role in what we do. Again, that's mrm.org. We're glad to be on the air and providing this information to you.